The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each other's needs, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? They said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and he was at the table with them. He took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson that was just read. There was a French painter, Edgar Degas, who studied at some of the finest art institutes in all of France and Europe. And his art was treasured throughout all of Europe and into the New World itself. But by age 70, he was nearly blind. And he grew so despairing of life itself, in the afternoon he would follow funeral processions through the streets of Paris. Now, as I said, he was a well-known and famous artist. He wasn't, you know, the poor, broke artist you usually think of. He was quite well off because he had sold some of his paintings for a pretty fair sum of money. But he used to dress so shabbily that people thought he was a vagrant. He lost his capacity to enjoy life. On the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, I wonder if the two disciples there who were walking were in similar circumstances. Jesus had come, as we learn in the Gospels, to preach to the poor. And these two men were spiritually poor. Jesus goes to work sharing the good news. The two men had come to Jerusalem with great expectations and excitement. They expected to find this excitement in Jerusalem with the coming of the Christ into the city. But all they left was with despair. They had found something wonderful and someone who had impacted their lives as no one else had. He was a great teacher. He was a miracle worker. He was inspiring people. He touched their hearts with what he had to say, and he stirred them with powerful messages. They became followers of this man from Galilee. But while they were in Jerusalem, this great prophet was nailed to a tree. Cleopas, the one that is named in our gospel lesson, his wife Mary was one of the women who witnessed the crucifixion firsthand. Now they've left Jerusalem 2 days after Jesus was put on the cross. And the result is they're poor in spirit. How many times have we been in their shoes? We have dreams that go up in smoke. At times like that, God seems so far away. And like the two disciples who headed out of Jerusalem back to Emmaus, their hometown, we head back to familiar ground. We walk their path. When we read this account in its entirety, one thing comes very crystal clear. The resurrection is the bedrock of all of Christianity. Any denomination or religious group that denies the resurrection, like the Jehovah's Witness, simply are not Christian, but that's another story for another day, perhaps. Who do these two men perceive Jesus to be? Well, they acknowledged that he was the Christ. They believed he was the Messiah, but they expected a great prophet who would free them from Roman rule. One key thing was missing from their understanding was that Jesus was also God himself. Without that realization, they were discouraged and disappointed. Their Superman was dead and had been buried, and they believed that the body had been stolen. But they forgot Jesus' words, that he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. We must study the Bible to learn life's meaning. We can understand creation itself, but do we understand the Creator personally? What does Cleopas' account of Jesus in verses 20 to 24 reveal about him? He was so near to the Word, but he didn't recognize the divinity of Jesus. Jesus explained to them how the Old Testament pointed to him. There is a meeting that I would love to have been at. You know, as far as historical events, throughout all of history that I could be a first-hand witness, I would like to be the third disciple on the road to Emmaus, immediately scratching down notes. How did he explain the scripture? So I make sure we have it right to this day. But good Lord says, no, Roger, got a different time and place for you, so you don't get to go. They returned to Jerusalem after they understood who he was as quickly as they could. Now, do you think it's important to know and believe in the Bible to have a clear knowledge of God? The answer is a resounding yes. The answer affects our priorities themselves. What we know affects the way we live. Do we need God? We need God because we are finite beings longing to find a higher meaning outside of ourselves. Isaiah 57:15 says, I dwell in high and holy places with him who has a broken and poor spirit. I will revive the poor in spirit and the brokenhearted. That's what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus, to proclaim good news to the poor. Notice, Jesus didn't wait for them to find him. He went and sought them out. He went to them in their greatest needs. They were out of options. At least that's what they thought. They were brokenhearted with hope gone. Now, why did Jesus supernaturally hide his identity from them? Well, a lot of debates have taken place on that one. But the one that made the most sense to me was he wanted them to understand from Scripture who he was rather than just a facial recognition. Because just a facial recognition, they had the wrong idea of who he was. But from Scripture, it made it very clear. He was the Son of God himself who had to suffer, die, and rise again. I bet the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus was the longest trip they'd ever taken because of the sorrow that filled their hearts. But the man appeared to them. Nobody would have expected Jesus to interrupt their downcast eyes. He shows interest in their sorrow, as he shows interest in our sorrow when we feel it. He opened their hearts to him, and he touched their hearts and changed their lives forever. He opened their hearts and made it clear why he came and what his mission was. Then they recognized him and understood who he truly was. They heard the good news and they rejoiced. They immediately went back to 7 miles, back to Jerusalem to share the good news. And remember, that's all on foot. That's what it says, they walked. In other words, they didn't have horses or chariots or anything else. They walked. Walked a 14-mile trip around home and back again just to share the good news. Romans 6 tells us that the gospel is God's power for salvation for everyone who hears it and believes it. It is the power to change your life and your spirit in a way that nothing else can. Colossians 1:23 and 24 tells us that Christians then that they should be holy, blameless, and above reproach in God's sight if they remained in the faith and hope of the gospel. It'll do no less for you today. Romans 10:16 says, the gospel message is alive and working today. It is in the world for all who hear it and obey it, and its power is still available today. They ate an evening meal with Jesus. They recognized him when he took the bread, broke it, and gave it to them. Sounds just like what he did in the upper room when he was celebrating Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper. Then they understood who he was, and Jesus vanished. I bet the fastest trip they ever made, 7 mile trip they ever made, was from Emmaus back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. They had their bounce back. They had reason to be joyful. Now they understood who Jesus truly was. They had told the disciples, who had also seen Jesus the very same evening, that the Christ had risen from the dead. How do we overcome the damage of a defeated spirit and gain a new spirit of excitement and joy? First, we place ourselves in his presence. Jesus wants to open up the Scriptures to us. He wants us to understand the Scriptures, not so that we can use it as a weapon against other people, but he opens up the Scripture to us so we become a better learner. Pentecost follows Easter, and in a few Sundays we'll celebrate the birthday of the Christian church, where we take defeated disciples who were hiding in an upper room, energize them with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they too had their bounce back. Would you allow Jesus to meet you with the good news? Bring him your sorrow, your broken spirit, your shattered dreams, and allow him, the crucified and risen Christ, to renew your faith and recreate your spirit by his message of love and sacrifice. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.